Hey fam, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. And if you are looking for some good sermons and words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and subscribe, like, comment, and share. That way you are up to date on all our latest content. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
We're in a series called Take Back the City, and I started out talking about, you know, we're asking always for a move of God, right? I really do believe that God is looking for a move of us. Yeah. And the first message we talked about is it's our move. It's our time to do what God has called us to be. And Pastor Mindy, I mean, she brought the power of one last week, did she not? I mean, it's a trickle effect when you look out and see, when you start impacting one person. And listen, I love to go to Kroger because I like to talk to everybody. And you will never know what an impact you can have on talking to one person, what smile you can do. So let's just continue to do that. And Jade, talking about the promised land, we were at a, come on, it kind of inspired me over the next 2 weeks. So we're going to be talking about the children of Israel. We're going to be talking about some things that they had to do. God's chosen people. So if we know in Joshua, when they delivered, it happened back in Exodus, but we know the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt. They were in slavery and bondage, and then God had brought them out there, all the plagues on Pharaoh, and then we got them to the Red Sea, and all of a sudden the waters parted. They walked across on dry ground. Come on, somebody. It wasn't a puddle in the place. There was a dry ground. And Moses was leading them to the promised land. And what he did is they got to a spot. About 11-day journey is what they say. But he sent out 12 spies, and 10 of them came back. Come on, watch out who you hang out with. And 10 of them came back with a bad report. They said, Joshua and Caleb were like, hey, man, there's grapes this big around over there. There's all kinds of flowing with milk and honey. This is what's going on. But the other ones, the naysayers, said, no, man, there's giants in there. There's no way we can. They forgot. We're guilty of it too. They just walked through a Red Sea that God parted, and they didn't think God could take care of those giants in the land. So many times God does so many great things in our lives that we forget so easily where he brought us from. We forget so easily that he is the God and he's in control all of the time. Amen? Amen. So they sent them out there. They got a bad report. They turned around. They wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. Should have took 11 days. What happened to them in that time is a whole generation, that generation who was not obedient to God, they all died. He said, you're not going to enter into the promised land because you didn't do. Come on, God's looking for us to step. He's looking for us to go. And we don't want a generation. We don't want this generation to die out because we don't take the steps. So when they get there, now they're standing at the Jordan, Joshua, and they have a choice to make. Do we cross over? Do we possess? Do we take this new ground? Or do we stay where we've always been? Go back to what we've always known? He's giving them a choice. Listen, change happens when you look at challenges as opportunities. Can I tell you, there's some of the greatest days coming to the church. May not look like it. Since COVID, it may not act like it. But I'm telling you, this is the opportunity that God, for such a time as this, he's given us the mandate to do these things, and he wants to show out, and I believe he's going to. Some of the greatest days are ahead, but it will not come without opposition, and it will not come without W-O-R-K, work. Y'all know how to spell that? Some of y'all don't know. I'm kidding. Job, what is that? Anyway, the title of this message is Taking New Ground. Let's look at Joshua 1. Listen, I've been reading through the Bible or listening through the Bible sometimes because I'm lazy sometimes, but it's opened up a whole, there is so much good stuff in the Bible if you'll just open, especially the Old Testament, man, there's some cool stories in this. So God has kind of opened my heart up a little bit over the last couple months. I thank my wife for saying, you need to read the Bible again. But she said that she and Jessica were going through this thing, but it's really good. It takes you through the whole Bible in 1 year. But it kind of opened up some of these stories again to me. Look at Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Remember that. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to a land which I am giving to them. the children of Israel. Joshua had gotten a promotion. Look at Deuteronomy 34:10. But since then, there had not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. You remember I said that a couple of weeks? Oh, we want that, we want that. It took 40 years. Come on. It took 40 years to get Egypt out of Moses. But listen, he got a promotion. Moses had laid hands on Joshua earlier, but Joshua had some big shoes to fill. When you have big shoes to fill, all of a sudden insecurity rises. Comparison starts to come and rear its ugly head. Comparison leads to jealousy, and jealousy leads to bitterness, and bitterness leads to anger. But listen what God had to do. He had to make it clear that he no longer could walk in Moses' accomplishments. Come on. He no longer could walk on Moses' anointing. He no longer could be in Moses' shadow because he was now the leader. So many times we live our lives through Instagram. We live our lives through social media. We live our lives through someone else. We do what they say to do. We go where they say to go. We have lost our own identity. I remember when we first started this thing, Stephanie and Bill are here, and I was wanting to be cool like all the young preachers we was going to Rochester's conference. I got me some skinny jeans. I looked like the Despicable Me guy, you know, that. Man, I poured myself into them skinny jeans, and I got me some cool chucks, and I got me all these things, and I try to keep up with all of the lingo, you know. What does that mean? And I try to be cool because I knew all the things that they were saying. But I caught myself not being me. And one day, the Lord kind of tapped me on the shoulder. I was trying to be cool. I was trying to do all this stuff. And the Lord tapped me on the shoulder. He says, you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. You're the only one who has your DNA. I know the very hairs you used to have on your head. And it released me. He said, you're not that person. You're not that person. You're not that person. I want you to be you. They only made one of you. Thank God they only made one of me. My wife's like, I don't know if I can handle two of you. But it freed me because I am. So that's what he was trying to do for Joshua. Moses, my servant, who just led everybody out of Egypt, he's dead. And it's on you now. You're the one doing it. Not everyone is the same, and what you have to do is you have to find your giftings, you have to find your callings. Can I tell you something? You all are fearfully and wonderfully made. You all have a gifting. You all have a calling. You all have something to offer the kingdom of God. You may look back and say, well, I don't think I can do this, or I don't know if I can do that. Well, that's good that you guys got you right where he wants you. His anointing was different than Moses' anointing. He was a soldier. Taking new ground will require you to walk in your own calling. I'm going to reiterate verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. God had to remind Joshua that Moses was dead. Joshua knew there was no life left in him. He said his goodbyes, and they did all of that. That's like when we get saved. We attend the funeral of dead things in our lives. Come on. When we say yes to Jesus, there's a funeral that dies. Sin dies from us. But what we try to bring back is our anger. We try to bring back our pain. We try to bring back our hurt. We try to bring back our addictions. We keep bringing things back to life that God has. Don't put CPR on something God has killed. Yeah. Y'all like that? Killed. He's killed it. You watched it drowned in the baptism. You watched it go down. Why do we keep wanting to bring it back to life? Because you know why? There's some safety in the past. There's some safety in things that we want. There's some comfort. The Israelites said, man, I wish we could just go back to Egypt. Really? You were a slave there. They treated you. You want to go back to that? But so many times we forget and we want to go back to that. And we get into that place and all of a sudden, like, how in the world did I end up here?
Yeah. Come on.
I don't want to be here. Jesus died and he took it all to the grave. And when he was on the cross and said, it's finished, it is finished. He's telling you that right now with the thing that you're going through. He wants you to lay it to rest, and he wants you to put a tombstone on it. Joshua was now the leader. God is calling us out of our following status to be leaders. I hear people say, I followed him, then I unfollowed, I followed. It sounds craziness to me. God does not, he's not looking for us to get more likes on Instagram. He's not looking for us to get more, he's looking for us to change our status to saying, I'm a child of God. And I'm following wherever God is leading us to go. And instead of that, we need to gain more ground for the kingdom. Here was another thing. Here's a whole new group to lead. Remember the this and them. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Verse 2. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. There's a wilderness between the promise. Come on. There's a wilderness between the promise. Some of you all may be going through something and think, man, I just don't know if this is ever going to come to fruition. I don't know if you're ever going to do this. But there is a wilderness that you have to travel through. You know why? Because there's adversity builds character. I can tell you some of the darkest times of my life built a lot of good things in me, even though I didn't like going through it. Even though it hurt and there was pain through it, but so many times God's trying to give us that little bit of push when we're there. He delivered them from Egypt, but he still had to get Egypt out of them. There are some things that only the wilderness can kill. Only the wilderness can kill your pride. You know, only the wilderness can kill yourself, and only the wilderness can kill disobedience. The old mindset had to be killed in the wilderness. And God said this, he says, go. God always rewards action. Sorry, she's telling me to calm down. I get fired up. Some of y'all are fanning in here, and some of y'all are freezing, so I am about to burn up, so we're good. God always rewards action if we get up and if we go. Remember the lepers? The Bible says, as they went, they could have questioned him and said, you know, can't you just lay hands on us? Can't you walk over and touch us and we can be healed? No, he said, I want you to go show yourself to the priest. The Bible said, as they went, they were healed. He told a man, he said, I want you to go down to this dirty river and I want you to dunk yourself 7 times. You know what? So many times we stop at 5, we stop at 6, but on that 7th time, God came through. So many times the woman with the issue of blood, she was sick. She was sick as a dog. She couldn't even hardly walk. And God said, and he watched her maneuver her way all through the crowd just so she could touch the hem of God. There's something about when God says go and you go and you put forth your best effort. Come on. He ain't looking for perfection. A little easy for me to say. Perfection. He's looking for your best. We fail because we stop short of the goal, but God was raising up a new generation of leaders. He killed all the old generation out. And he was leading up a new generation. And this one, they were going to be fearless. They're going to be strong. They're going to be soldiers because they sat and watched. Even though they were younger, they watched disobedience. They watched standing at that same place that they were 40 years earlier. They watched that happen. It's like, no. We're going to go in. We're going to possess this land. We're going to do, God, what you've told us to do because we don't want to be wandering. Come on, are we tired of wandering around the wilderness so many times? God says, if you'll just step out, I'm getting ahead of myself. We wander around in the same old places sometimes, and God just says, listen, I want you to make that step and go into the promise because I got something so much better for you out there, baby. But listen to what happens in verse 2. It says, this Jordan, there would be more obstacles and obstacles to make opportunities for them going on. I'm going to talk about one next week about the walls of Jericho. Jordan was just an obstacle to keep them from getting to the promise. But look at what Hebrews 12:1 says. It says, let us lay aside every weight or every obstacle and sin, which is an obstacle, which so easily ensnares us. The devil will always put an obstacle course in your life all the time. How you navigate through that obstacle course is how far it's going to take you. Listen, 11 days. Took them 40 years because of disobedience. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? There's things that God said, I could have took care of that years ago, but you haven't navigated it the right way. You haven't gone in the direction that I've called, asked you to go in, so I'm gonna let you wander around this mountain a little bit more. How you navigate it matters because the way you navigate it is, you know this, Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. So as Joshua's telling them, we got to prepare to possess this. There's too many P's. Prepare to possess. Look at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself that within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. He says to pass through. God is giving us, he's giving us a mandate as the church and as the Christian people to move. Expand our territory. Start taking back the territory. Start taking new ground. And that's not just in the city of Louisville. That's in your family. That's at your job. That's at places you are. He's asking us to expand our territory and start marking it for him. He's calling us now to take all the ground that the enemy has tried to steal from us, has stolen from us, because there's so many times that we've forfeited because of our own disobedience. We forfeited the things that we had in God because of the things from our pride and for the disobedience that we had. God says, I'm going to redeem all of that. I'm going to give all that back to you, but you got to go. God is looking for leaders, and this is our city church. We all have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility to take someone and to make this mission ours. It starts with one. She proved that last week. One person came to church, caused a whole family to come to church. That's how it works. One. He also says prepare. Plow. Sowing. Watering. Plowing again. Hard work. That takes time. Can I tell you that I'm still standing on the promise? There are hundreds of young people that God is still, he marked them 15 years ago. He marked them 10 years ago. And I know the prodigals are coming home. I know people are going to start seeing Jesus again. I know it's going to happen, but that was hard work. And sometimes when you're in the middle of plowing and you're in the middle of everything, you can't see it. But God says, just keep plowing, keep sowing, keep watering. Ecclesiastes 11:4 says this, farmers who wait for the perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they'll never get a harvest. You got to scatter that seed even though there's people in your family you've already said, man, they're just too bad. There is nobody too far gone for God. There's people there's your coworkers out there. You think there is no way they could ever go to church. She told the story this morning about somebody that she's been plowing the fields for 3 years that asked her to go to a religious Girls Gone Bible. Better than Girls Gone Wild. I can tell you that much right now. But if you keep doing the things that God's called you to do, you may not see it in the moment. You may not see it in the time, but God says, just keep doing it. Provision. You are going to have to take something with you where God is taking you. No snacking on God. God is not a snacking God. He wants you to fully have a full meal out of him. Come on, you need to be so entrenched with God that you're going to eat like a teenage boy. Come on, y'all know we had teenage boys in our house. They wanted to eat 9 times a day. You can't eat like my wife every 3 hours. If she doesn't get food every 3 hours, she got very hangry on vacation. I missed a cue. It was not a good cue. I just missed it. You know, I'm a man. We miss a lot of cues. Come on, anybody men out there? And then I got the silent treatment on the way home. She said, you know we always eat when we go over here. And I was like, she didn't speak to me all the way home. She was mad at me for about 2 hours. Because I didn't take her to eat. The rest of the time we were there, did I not? I said, are you hungry? Can I get you some food? Can I make sure? Listen, I'm not going to drop that ball ever again because that ball almost got me punched. But you need a real meal to sustain you. You need a real meal, a real thing of God to supply us. You got to take some. We're going places as the church that a little knapsack or a little snack won't sustain us when we get there. We need a full meal of God. We're taking new ground, and there may be a time that God is stretching us. Can I just tell you, there may be a time when God is stretching us in our giving. I was reading some statistics and talk about people are very fearful even Christian people are very fearful right now of the economy that we're living in. They're fearful with their giving. But I'm telling you what, this could be an opportunity that God can give you to sow into a ground, sow into this church, and sow into hurricane people, and sow into all these things around us that show you that I'm in control. The government is not in control. Your IRA is not in control. Your job is not in control. God is the one that's in control. Maybe he's trying to stretch you because the Bible says test God with your giving. Start somewhere, increase, and listen, be consistent. We pay our tithe on the Friday we get paid. It's the very first thing that we do. I think if you give God your first fruits and you trust him with your first fruits, he's going to make all the other fruit multiply. Come on. Let's read Joshua 3:2. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and they commanded the people, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your places and you will go after it. Taking new ground means going after God, and going after God is his presence. Hebrews 11:6 says this, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Why are there so many agnostics out there in the world? Why are there so many atheists or so-called atheists in the world? It's because they don't see the church living Jesus. They don't see the Christian people living Jesus out there. It's time that we get out of our passive state and start being passionate about who we serve. Come on. How you act, what you do, the things that you surround yourself with are all going to make an impact. She's been in she's been being a light at her work. And the light is starting to shine through the darkness. And I think that what you got to do, you can't focus on the darkness. You got to focus on that glimmer of light that you get each day. It's time for us to be passive, passionate, not passive. Taking new ground is stepping out in faith. Taking new ground is stepping in faith. Joshua 3:13 says this. The priest will carry the ark of the Lord and all of the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, say upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left their camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was in the harvest season, listen, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, they were walking on dry ground. This was not just any time. This was flood stage time. You're seeing all the flooding that's going on right now. The water was broader and it was deeper. Sometimes you have to step out in faith when it looks like impossibilities. Sometimes you got to step out in faith and go, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it across that. That water looks pretty rough. But I know that God, what was the Jordan compared to the Red Sea? Think about it. They just watched a whole sea part and they walked across on dry ground. How could you not believe that again? Faith takes a step when it looks impossible. You know why? Because the harvest is on the other side of impossibility. Come on, I'm going to say that again. The harvest is on the other side of impossibility. If you see something that seems impossible, there's probably something worth trying to get over to it. Too many people stop at the impossibility. And he said, man, I got a harvest in your family. I got a harvest in the things around you. I got a harvest at your job. I got a harvest for you, but you're stopping too short of where I'm going with it. I like what he said here. In one part, he says, for you have not passed this way before. This was a new generation. This was new ground. This was a new day. Somebody needs to hear that today is a new day. What you've been battling with for years and years can go away today. Come on, so many times we think we got to go through a routine and we got to go through a time. Sometimes God can take care of something just like that. Come on, he's the God of the impossible. Verse 16, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away from Adam. Adam was a town. Can I tell you something? God is working upstream for you. You don't know, you've heard me say it before, you don't know what he's kept you from. Some of y'all shouldn't even be sitting here today. Some of y'all should be dead and in the ground today. But God was working upstream in your life. He was doing something in your life. Even though you didn't see it happening, he was working upstream. Jesus is the ark. He made a path through the obstacle of sin. And we were separated from God. He came in and became the middleman, the promised way for us. I like what it says. It said it rose the waters all the way back to Adam. Didn't Jesus do that? That's not a coincidence. The Bible is not full of coincidences. There's something when it went all the way. So Jesus, not only when he came, he took care of it all the way back. He took care of the present, the past, and the future all the way back to Adam. That's what Jesus did. When he said, it is finished, it was done. Everything was taken care of at that point. When Jesus died on the cross, he pushed all of our sins all the way back to Adam. Joshua 3:17. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground, say dry ground, in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Here we are today. We're standing and we're talking about new ground. We're standing and we're talking about taking new ground for our city church. We're standing here with a choice to cross over, take possession of new territory. And what crossing over is means you come from the old way into the new way. You come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Crossing over means we don't just survive. We don't just survive. We don't just hold on till Jesus comes. We don't just exist. We are absolutely 100% alive in him. That is not the church God's called us to be. He didn't call us just to stand back and be passive. He didn't call us to, well, just hold on. I'm coming one day. No, he said, I want you to take new territory. I want you to take new ground. I want you to do something you've never done before. Let's all stand. We have a choice. Here we are. We're standing at the Jordan. There may be a Jordan step in front of you. Maybe it's something that you didn't feel like you could ever cross over from. And maybe you're sitting there looking into this flood stage Jordan, and you forgot because you're looking here, you forgot to look there where the possibilities were. Come on. So many times fear can leave us standing on the shore because we focus on what's in front of us, the raging waters or whatever the impossibility is. And God said, if you would just change your focus from looking this way or even this way to looking that way, you could see the promise that I have for you. Come on, I want you to change your perspective this morning. I don't want you to see what you've always seen. I don't want you to I want you to start looking at the possibilities instead of the impossibilities. And sometimes all that takes is maybe even a step up here to pray with someone. Maybe all that takes, sometimes there's a step out of a place, out of a comfort zone that you're in, and make a step towards, we can just say right here, this is your possibility this morning. This morning, maybe you're facing something. Maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Maybe you've never accepted him. Today is the day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not next week, not next year. I remember being young, so I'll get saved when I get older, when I don't have much fun. I wish I'd done a long time before that. This morning, it's up to you to take that step. Maybe doubt. God, I don't know if you can do this. You'll never know if you don't take the step. Maybe you've stepped towards God. Maybe you've took a few steps backwards, like probably all of us in this place. Maybe this morning you just wanted to rededicate your life to Jesus and just have somebody agree with you. This morning during this next song, take a step. Take a step in faith. whatever you're needing it for, whether you're taking a step for yourself or for someone else. Come on. You could be taking a step this morning and getting prayer for yourself, or you may have someone that you've been really, really pressed in with. God, I need you to move in this situation. I need you to move in this heart. We have some things going on right now. We need you to move, God. So during this next song, if you'd like to make any step toward God, please do so.
Thank you so much for joining us today. To find out more information about what we're all about here, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you next week.